Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm going to preach a message I've entitled this morning, Hurry Up, Lord, or I'll Have to Help You. Hurry up, Lord, or I'll have to help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you teach us this wonderful principle. We're going to apply it in maybe several arenas of life, but really one great truth this morning for us, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you'd open our hearts, make us hungry. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, we'd be very sensitive to your Holy Spirit during the message. Dear God, those of us that are your children, may we want, Lord, to learn. May we want to be taught. I pray, Lord, for that one that may be here without Jesus Christ, and they're trying to do something that you never intended any man to do. They're trying to live their life without Jesus as their Savior and God as their Father, and that's sure a tough way to have to live. So I pray, Lord, that even though we won't focus this morning on the subject of salvation, that they would, Lord, just by hearing about our great God and the recommendations that I'll make concerning God this morning, that they'll want you to be their Father. They'll want Jesus to be their Savior. So open their hearts, Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you'd use this message to benefit all of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I love these verses. They never get old to me. I never get tired of hearing them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to introduce the message this morning by dividing the platform this morning into two halves. I want you, if you will, to imagine that behind the pulpit from here to the wall, there's a line that's on the floor here, and it's dividing the pulpit into my right and to my left. Now, over here to my right, I want you to picture you standing over here, me and you standing together, all of us together on this side of the platform. You see, this side over here is our side. This is where we are to stay. Over here, this is where all my responsibilities lie. Over here, on my left, is God's side. Everything over here, watch this, listen to it, is his business. Everything over here is his responsibilities. Now, I'm going to help you this morning because I'm going to tell you why a lot of sometimes very good-meaning people and even dedicated Christians make a mistake cause themselves to miss staying on the path of God's perfect will. So over here is our side, and over here is God's side. Over here is where we're to stay. Over here is where God's supposed to stay. Over here is my responsibilities. Over here is God's responsibilities. Now, with that in mind, let's look again at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, you probably have already divided these verses with that in mind, what we just illustrated here. You've probably already divided the instructions that we find in these two verses. There are three instructions, three responsibilities that is given to us, and there is one responsibility in this portion of Scripture that God has claimed as his own. So the first responsibility that we would have is to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let me stand here this morning and recommend God to you. Yeah. Folks, God can be trusted. God is good. God is loving. God is compassionate. God's not your enemy. God's your friend. You know what I've been able to learn throughout the years is this, that I can trust in the Lord, not just kind of trust in him. I can trust in Him with all of my heart and never be disappointed. So the first responsibility I have standing over here is to trust in the Lord. But that's not all. The second responsibility I have is this, and this is hard, to be honest with you. Lean not into thine own understanding. So the first thing I told you is this, God can be trusted. The second thing I want to tell you is this, God is smarter than you, and He's smarter than me. Lean not into thine own understanding. Now that means that as I trust Him, there's going to be some things that it's going to be hard for me to understand. I'm not always going to get what He's doing. But His ways are so far above my ways, and His thoughts so far above my thoughts, and He is God, and He is all-knowing, and He is omniscient. So part of the learning to trust Him is to trust Him when I don't understand what He's doing. Now again, I've got responsibilities in this relationship. I'm to trust Him with all my heart. And when something's going on that I don't understand, I'm not to lean upon mine own understanding. And so that would be my second responsibility. God, watch this, God can be trusted. Number two, God is smarter than me. You'll not always understand the ways of God, the what of God, and especially the when of God. But let me just say this, whether or not we understand it, God is good and God is right and He can be trusted. So I've got responsibilities. I trust in the Lord. I stand over here, trust in the Lord with all my heart. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to lean upon my understanding. Have you ever said this? Well, I just don't understand what God's doing. Well, preacher, I just don't get it. Well, join the club. I don't always get it either. I don't always understand it either. But my responsibility in our relationship, me and God's relationship, is that I'm not supposed to lean upon my own understanding because I'm not always going to understand. And you know what? If we always understood, watch this, we wouldn't have to trust. You know, trusting in the Lord becomes a necessity when we don't understand. And so, Lord, I don't know what You're doing right now, but I trust You. I don't get why this is happening, but I trust You. I honestly, Lord, I've tried to rationalize it and think it through, and I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around it. I just don't get it. But I trust You. And so my responsibility is to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not unto mine own understanding. But there's a third responsibility that I have. This is important. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now the third great truth that's found in these precious familiar verses is this. Not only does God love you, and not only is God smarter than you, but God wants to help you. God wants to guide you. The word acknowledge means to consider God. Consider Him in all your decisions. Be willing to receive direction and instruction from Him. Listen, God will reveal His will to you when you are humble enough to acknowledge Him. Now, this may not seem like an important matter, but I'm going to try to heighten the importance of what I'm saying right now. Listen, folks. I'm telling you this, in the lives of God's children all across this planet, thousands of decisions are being made every week with no acknowledging of God, no consideration of what God would have us to do. And so we don't stop and acknowledge in all thy ways. Well, this isn't a big decision. You don't know how big a decision it might be down the road. Well, this is something I can make and I really don't have to take before the Lord. I'll just go ahead and take it before the Lord. In all thy ways, the little decisions of life. How many of you can look back at your life? I know I can. And look back at what I thought was a small, insignificant decision that then, later on when I look back, thought, boy, I didn't even realize I was standing at a crossroads in my life. That could have changed the direction of my life. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Now, folks, listen to me. I just spent the first several minutes just trying to recommend the Lord to you. To me, this is a microcosm. This is an outline of what the Christian life is supposed to be. I'm supposed to get up every morning and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You today. And I'm going to trust You not just a little. I'm going to trust You with all my heart. Lord, there's things that's going to happen I'm not going to understand, but I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. And Lord, I'm not going to make a decision today without considering You, acknowledging You, being willing to receive instruction and direction from You. Listen, I've learned this. God always will communicate, will always reveal His will to the person humble enough to acknowledge Him. He'll give you the answers that you seek. He'll open doors that he wants you to walk through. He'll guide you. If you will acknowledge him, he will guide you. Now, we are done examining our three responsibilities. The line is here. It's divided the platform. I'm over here. My life is supposed to be trusting in the Lord and not leaning to my own understanding and acknowledging him, not make any decision in my life without acknowledging or considering what God has to say about it through his word and how that decision will reflect on my Heavenly Father. Now, if we do our three decisions, then the Bible says that God, over here on the left side, God's side, by the way, this is his business. By the way, this is his responsibility. Preacher, in response to our obedience, what will he do? He shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. And so God's over here, and he says this, you're to trust me. Yes, sir. And by the way, in all your ways, you're to acknowledge me. Yes, sir. I get that. And so I want to trust you. I want to not lean to my own understanding, and I want to acknowledge you. And God says, if you'll do that, then I'm going to direct your path. And so God has responsibilities. Now, a lot of times, folks, watch this, and this is the message, and this is where we're going this morning. By the way, God's fully qualified to direct your path. God created you for his will. God has a plan for your life. God has a place he wants you to end up. God, in his time, will direct you on the right path and keep you on the right path if you'll trust him, if you'll not lean to your own understanding, and if you'll acknowledge him in all your ways. Now, when do we or how do we preach or get ourselves in trouble? How is it that so many Christians end up missing the perfect will of God for their life? Watch this. At some point, here's the word for today, we get impatient. Impatient. Sometimes the hardest thing to do as a Christian is to just wait upon the Lord. At some point, if God does not direct our paths how we want him to or when we want him to, we decide to leave our side of the platform and leave our side of the responsibilities and get over on his side of the platform. And that's where the message comes, the title this morning, Hurry Up, Lord, or I'll Have to Help You. Hurry up, Lord, or I'll Have to Help You. Preacher, what is the number one reason people get off the path of God's will? I'm talking about good people. I don't mean rebellious people. I mean people that are trying. What is the number one reason that people end up on a wrong path in life? Here it is, impatience. I don't know about you, but I have issues with waiting. It's not my favorite thing. I wrote a devotional, or as Tony Brown would call them, a Devo for Glow in the Dark. Say, Brother Jerry, you got any Devos for me? I wrote one for Glow in the Dark on this subject several years ago for our young people. And this is what I wrote. I hate waiting. I'll admit it. It's one of the hardest things in the world for me to do. Waiting holds no appeal for me. I hate lines. I mean, I pop in the barbershop, look in. If there's one guy, I turn around, leave, and say, I'll come back later. And then when I come back later, there's three guys. We've developed a society with a herd mentality. People are everywhere, so businesses buy black seatbelt material, strap them to freestanding poles, and create mazes to herd the masses into orderly lines where we can stand and wait, take a step and wait, take a step and wait, take a step and wait. I don't like that. Other businesses are not so bold to build black people fences. Instead, they present you just inside the door with a red dispenser and a sign firmly attached that politely encourages you to take a number. Okay, I hate lines, I hate numbers. Whenever I pull out the small piece of paper and compare the number neatly printed on it with the number in red lights behind the counter, they never match. Most of the time, they're not even close. Fast food restaurants are so bold to use both the black people fence and the number system. You heard it through black seatbelt maze, step, wait, step, wait, step, wait. When you finally make it to the cashier, she takes your order, takes your money, and then gives you a number. Now you proceed to the waiting area where for several minutes you stand holding your piece of paper, looking at your number, waiting for your order number to be called. Other people's numbers are called and they push their way past you to get their order. And then they smirk at you as they make their way to their seats. Some of their numbers are larger than my number, but they got their food first. Finally, it's like winning the lottery, your number's called. pick up your tray and look to see what you've been waiting for. And you have been waiting for your Whopper and a double Whopper and onion rings. And instead, there on the plate lays a fish sandwich and French fries. But they get your drink order right, because they just take an empty cup and put it on the tray upside down where you can go over and get in line again to wait. The word wait is not the word that most of us want to hear, but I want you to listen, if you will, to a couple verses this morning, folks. Listen to me. Oh, preacher, I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm trying not to lead to my own understanding. I really am. I mean it, preacher. I'm not playing at this. I'm sincere. I'm trying to trust in the Lord. I don't understand some things, and I'm trying not to realize I'm not always going to understand. And I'm trying to, but you know what? I don't see God doing his part yet. I need direction, and I'm not getting it. I need to know what path to go through, and I'm here, and I'm trying to do all of those things, but nothing's happening over there yet. And so finally we get to praying this prayer. Hurry up, Lord, or I'm going to have to come over and help you. And so that's where we begin to make our mistake. But let me share a couple verses with you. And I love this verse in Psalms 123. If you want to flip over there real quick, it's worth looking at. It's worth you underlining or drawing an arrow to it, or putting a star beside it on the side of your margin, something there. Look at Psalm 123, and the first two verses. Psalm 123, verse 1 and 2. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden upon the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy upon us. Now, if you will, flip over to Isaiah chapter number 40, and we're going to read the background verses to the very familiar wait upon the Lord verse found in the last verse of that chapter. But Isaiah chapter number 40, if you'll flip over there, verse number 27, we'll begin reading there. Isaiah 40 and verse number 27, I like this. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? You know what? They were at a point in time where they're saying, I'm trusting God. I'm trying not to lean to my own understanding. I'm trying to acknowledge him, but you know what? It seems like he's ignoring me. It seems like he's forgotten to give me any instruction. Watch this. Impatience will get you on the wrong path. Not waiting on the Lord will get you on the right wrong path. Frustration, and you deciding, I got to step over here, and I've got to start making decisions, and I've got to take control, and I've got to choose a path. Folks, listen to me. You're going to end up where you don't want to be. Wait upon the Lord. And that's kind of where Jacob was here. He spoke, my way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? I love this. That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Folks, listen, he hasn't fallen asleep. He hasn't gotten tired. You know what? Watch this. He does not just have a what for your life. He has a when for your life. And sometimes he's not going to work on our timeline. He's not going to reveal it when we want to reveal it. He sets us over here and says, trust me. Well, I don't understand. Don't lean to your own understanding. I want you to acknowledge me. All right, Lord, I'm trying to acknowledge you. Show me something. I will. Okay, I'm trusting still. Anytime now would be good. You know what? Sometimes God's timing isn't right yet. By the way, I think sometimes God doesn't give us an immediate answer because he wants to see if we'll stay over here and do what we're supposed to do. I think that this arena, this area over here is the proving ground. Watch this. The proving ground for Christians who eventually find the perfect will of God. But notice what we read as we go on down through this portion of Scripture. He giveth power to the faint. Verse 13. Say, preacher, I'm tired. Well, you know what? That's all right. When the time comes, he'll give you the strength, the power that you need. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Preacher, I don't know how much longer I can just stay over here in limbo. I'm getting weary. I'm getting tired. Don't worry. When he shows up with the path, he'll show up with the strength to walk down the path. Well, preacher, if I wait much longer, I don't know if I'm going to have the resolve. He'll give you the resolve. I don't know if I'll have the faith. He'll give you the faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And just keep doing that over and over and over and over again. And you know what? Sooner or later, God will do his responsibility. But the problem is the timeline. Sometimes he doesn't do it in our time. But I like this, verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. I'm going to talk to you young people for just a minute. Just a minute, I'm going to talk to you. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so if we just learn to wait upon the Lord, all through the Bible, by the way, all through the Bible, there's illustrations of some of the best Christians in the world that for a while stayed over here, but at some point said to God, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, or I'm going to have to come over there and help you. And some of them did. They went over and tried to help God. How about Abraham and Sarah? You know the stories? We'll just tell you the Bible stories. We won't go to all the scripture this morning. But Abraham and Sarah, God appeared to Abraham and he promised him a seed, an everlasting seed. He promised him that through him the Messiah would come. He promised, watch this, he promised Abraham and Sarah a son. A son. But you know what? The years came ticking by, and you know what? A lot of her friends and peers are having babies, and now they're having families, and now they're finishing having families. And here's Abraham and Sarah, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And they stayed over here for a lot of years. But there came a point in time where Abraham and God began to have some discussions about this, and Abraham's kind of saying, Lord, you know what? We're trusted in you. We're trying to trust in you, but it just seems like to me, you know, hey, well, you need to hurry now. I mean, we're not spring chickens anymore. I mean, I don't know how much of you were paying attention in biology class, but we need to do this pretty soon if this is going to happen. It's, you know, come on now. And you know what? The Lord reaffirmed again his promise. Trust me. In all thy ways acknowledge me. Don't lean to your own understanding. But there came a point in time where Abraham and Sarah said, you know what? What we're going to have to do is we're going to come over here and help God out. Are you listening to me? By the way, you say, what's the story have to do with me? If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, he's already taken this lesson. He's taken this truth, and he's helping you if you'll listen to him. Hey, where are you at? Are you over here? Have you decided to come over here? Well, preacher, but there's some things that I need. Trust him. But I don't understand why he... Just listen. You don't have to understand. Well, I'm trying to do the right... Wait a minute. Acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. There came a day when you know the story how Hagar was brought into the equation and Sarah and Abraham decided that they were going to help the Lord out, and all of a sudden a boy is born, Ishmael is born to Abraham, and you know what? Abraham brings Ishmael to God and said, see, Lord, you must have fainted, you must have fell asleep, you must have forgot about us, so what we decided to do, we thought we'd help you out. And you know what? Did God accept what they did? No, he looked at them and said, I made a promise to you, and I'm going to keep my promise. But wait a minute, Sarah's 89 and I'm 99. Oh, Lord, come on now. Why don't you just let Ishmael live before you? He said, I gave you a promise, and I told you if you'd trust me, and I told you if you'd acknowledge me, and I told you if you'd not lean to your own understanding, I'll direct your paths. And you know what? 90 years of age, for the first time, Sarah became pregnant and had a little baby boy growing inside of her. Now, folks, listen to me. I won't make the full application, but I'll tell you this. Study it out. You know who's chucking rockets over into Israel? Ishmael's descendants. Do you know why Israel's under attack, constant attack, and live in constant fear? Ishmael's descendants. Now, listen to me. Watch this. Boy, I want to help some of you. I mean, and I want to stand in your way. Sometimes I feel like as a preacher, all I do is try to guard the line here. And I try to encourage you to trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Stay on your side of the responsibility. God has a plan. God has a way. God has a will. In his time, he'll do it. But you know what? I can't guard it all. And sometimes two or three or four Christians slip past me. And you know what, folks? Listen, when it boils down to it, you have to make some choices in life. But you know what? If you just back away from that and say, you know what? Okay, things haven't happened the way I thought it would happen, and things haven't started to happen in the time frame that I wish it happened. But you know what? I'm not going to be an Abraham. I'm not going to be a Sarah. I'm not going to create more of a problem and complicate God's will for my life, or even, God forbid, prevent God's will for my life, because I simply won't stay over on my side of the equation. Now, folks, listen to me. God loves you. And God's smarter than you. And God ought to be considered and acknowledged in every single decision that you make. And don't come to me and point at this book and say, I know what I'm doing is opposite of the Bible and opposite of God's clear teaching, but you don't understand, I had to help God out a little bit. Because God doesn't need any help. He's well capable of keeping his end of the bargain if we'll keep our end of the bargain. He's not the only one that made that mistake. How about Moses? Moses, by the way, the children of Israel had received a promise from God that one day they would be delivered. One day they would be freed from Egypt, go from Egypt back to Canaan land, back to the land of promise. And you know what? Moses grew up. You know the miraculous story of Moses. You know how he was a miraculous baby. You understand how God cared for him and protected him and saw to it that he was raised in Pharaoh's courts. But wait a minute. Moses got impatient. Moses got impatient. The timing of the deliverance of Israel wasn't on his timeline, wasn't when he wanted it to happen. And one day young Moses is walking along, and there's an Egyptian taskmaster, and he's abusing an Israeli servant. And you know what? Moses rises up and murders that Egyptian. Murders that Egyptian. Now, wait a minute, folks. God had a plan, and God had a time. And God was going to send a deliverer. But God's going to do it on his timetable. And Moses, you didn't get the green light to do that from God. You know what you did? You stopped trusting. You know what you did? You started leaning to your own understanding. You know what you did? You stopped acknowledging him. You really think, you come to me and tell me, you think Moses prayed before he did that and said, Lord, should I murder this guy or not? He didn't get clear leading. What happened then? As a result of that, he has to flee Egypt. As a result of that, he's put on the backside of the desert for 40 years. You know why? Because God said this, you're not going to cross that line and keep crossing that line. I'll put you somewhere where you're not even near the line. And you know what he got to do? He got to learn to be a shepherd for 40 years. And all a part of God's great plan and great providence. One man summarized the life of Moses by saying he spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was a somebody. He spent the next 40 years of his life learning he was a nobody, and he got to see the last 40 years of his life what God can do with a nobody. That's a pretty good outline of the life of Moses. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying good Christians. Folks, listen, I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah. I'm talking about Moses. How about Jacob and Esau? You know what the promise was? I mean, the pre-birth promise of these twins by God that the older would serve the younger. And you know what? I'm sure that Jacob probably heard about that at some point. And you know what? God had a plan. And God had a will. And God had already prophesied and predicted. And God had already said that Esau would be a servant of Jacob. Jacob would not serve Esau as the firstborn, as the secondborn serves the firstborn. But Esau would serve Jacob. But you know what? Watch this. Jacob's over here trusting the Lord. He's leaning not to his own understanding. In all his ways, he's acknowledging him. But things aren't happening. Hey, what happened to that promise? Seems like it's been a lot of years. Nothing's happened. Hurry up, God. Come on. I thought the prophecy was that I would have the birthright. Hurry up, Lord. Hurry up. Now, Lord, if you can't hurry and get this done, I'm going to come over and help you. And what did Jacob do? He used deceit. He used deceit to steal the birthright. He used deceit to steal the blessing. Now, you're going to come to me and open your King James Holy Bible and try to explain to me that that was God's leading for him to do that? What happened? He got over here on God's side. And guess what? Right after that, here we go again. Another Christian fleeing for his life. Another Christian having to go to a strange land. Watch this. Another Christian being set on the shelf for a while. Now, God done with him? No. Is God still working with him? Yes. Is God still preparing him for something? Yes. But you know what? He got into trouble because he crossed this line and went over into an area that is God's responsibility. I hope this is an encouragement. I want this to be an encouragement to you. Because I see Christians sometimes. You say, preacher, I'm trying to trust the Lord. Well, don't quit trusting the Lord. He loves you. He's good. He's trustworthy. but I don't understand. I know. And the honest truth is, you can come to my office and both of us a lot of times will have to agree, we don't understand. You know, sometimes people think, well, I don't understand this. Surely the preacher will understand. He can explain it to me. And sometimes I can, but many times I'm sitting there as befuddled as you are. We don't always understand. It's not always revealed to us in the human race what God's doing. There's not always a short-term answer, but there is a long-term result if we do not lean into our own understanding. So I decided to trust the Lord. Preacher, have you ever in your life crossed over in this line? Yeah, I expect all of us have a few times here and there. Has it ever ended very well? Let me just give you an emphatic answer. No. So as you grow in grace, and as you become more mature in the Lord, you just learn, I'm going to stay over here where I'm supposed to be and trust Him. What I'm going to do is not lean to my own understanding, and in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge Him. Now, let me apply it to three groups, and it'll take me 2 or 3 minutes each, and we'll go on. Young people, let me plead with you, because you're the ones that honestly are going to fight this the most. You know what? You're still learning. Your faith is still in its infancy. I mean, you haven't had to, you know, it's more theory than reality. You haven't got to test it in real life yet. That's why you have to be willing to listen to people that's gone down the Christian road a ways. Now listen, you're not listening to a novice this morning. Okay? I celebrated some milestones this year. Are you listening to me? I've been in the ministry 27 years, and I got to celebrate my 20th year serving here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 11 years on as assistant pastor, 9 years as a pastor. What I'm telling you, please listen to me. I didn't start yesterday, okay? Me and my wife got to celebrate 30 years of our wedding anniversary, 30th year wedding anniversary. What I'm saying is, listen, this stuff works. It's not something I read in some book. It's something I've tested in my life. It works. It works. Watch this. Young people, listen to me. As you are in your teenage years, you're going to have to learn to trust the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Preacher, I trust the Lord. Here's the question. Do you trust Him with all your heart? Because it's going to be tested during your teenage years. He's trustworthy. He loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. You can trust Him. In all thy ways, now watch this, trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thine understanding. Preacher, I'll be honest with you, there's just a lot of things I don't get. I don't get this. I don't understand this. I don't understand why this has happened and why that's happened. Welcome to real life. Because that's going to be the way it is for a lot of things in your life. You're not always going to understand it. But you know what? When you don't understand it, what do? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But I don't understand it. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Watch this. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Every decision you make during your teenage years, oh, if I could get on my knees and beg you, if that would help, I'd do it. But every decision you make in your teenage years, you need to run by God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Well, it's just a little decision. I can handle this one. If you get that attitude young, you're going to later on try to handle things you have no business. There are no little decisions. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge His word. If God says that you shouldn't do something, you know what? Then just trust Him and don't do it. If He says you are to do something, just trust Him and do it. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. If there's a gray area in your life where you're not sure, get before God and say, God, I want your advice. I want your instruction. I want your wisdom. And I'm not going to do anything until I get a clear leading from you. Listen, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Oh, but preacher, things aren't happening as fast as I want them to happen. It never does when you're a teenager. It never does. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. One of these days I want to get married and I'm 14 and I don't even have a boyfriend yet. Now, come on, God, I'm over here, I'm trying, but hurry up or I'm going to have to come over and help you. I wish I could have the hearts of all of you young ladies and all of you young men for a minute or two here. Please listen to me. The number one area where young people crash and burn, the one, number one area where young people end up outside the will of God, please hear what I'm saying, is they get impatient in this area of romance. They get impatience in this area of waiting for God's perfect will for a marriage partner. Now, some of you bus kids, you're gonna think that your preacher came from another planet or whatever, but listen to me. Please hear what I'm going to say. You don't need a boyfriend during your high school years. You don't need a girlfriend during your high school years. You know what you need to do? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know what trusting in the Lord with all thine heart does? It says this: God, I don't have to worry about that. You got that taken care of. You've created someone for me. They're waiting out there in my future somewhere. And you know what? When I get to that point in my life where I need to find that person, you're going to direct my path to that person. But you know what? 12, 13, 14 years old, you go to school, everybody's into this romance roller coaster and boyfriend, girlfriend, breakups and all of this stuff, and you look at that and you feel left out. Maybe somebody's even so mean or cruel as to say something like this to you. You know what? You're so pathetic. You're so ugly. You can't even get a boyfriend. And then you feel inadequate. I've got to get a boyfriend to prove it. And then I've got to try to keep a boyfriend. Watch. You're going to tell me God can work in that environment? You know what you're doing? You're over here. You're over here running around trying to do God's business for him. Hey, get back over here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways of God, he knows where the person is. He created them for you. You know what? He's got them waiting for you. He knows how to lead you to them. Stay on your side until he says, okay, it's time. Let's go. Let me say a word to young adults this morning. Listen to me. Stay on your side of the line. From 18 years of age, about 18 years of age, till you hit about 30, you're going to make most of the live or die, make or break decisions of your life. All right, and please listen to me. Please listen to me. You know, oh, I survived my teenage years. I'm 18. I'm good. I'm an adult now. I'm a full-grown woman. I'm a full-grown man. I don't have to listen, but I can make my own decision. You better listen to me. You better acknowledge the Lord. Because the decisions you make from 18 to 30 in your life, let me just going to tell you the way the rest of the life's going to go from 30 on. You're either going to reap a lot of benefits because of making right decisions, or you're going to spend a lot of years trying to fix bad decisions. And what you're hearing, young people, is adults trying to say to you, listen to what the preacher said. Okay, 18, 19, 20, I don't care what your age is. You never get old enough to stop trusting the Lord. You never get old enough to stop leaning. Listen, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't stop acknowledging the Lord in all your ways, because he's got a path, he's got a way, he's got a will, he's got the person. Listen, he's got everything. You've got to acknowledge him. And so that stretch of time, 18 to 30, is so important that you stay close to the Lord. Man, a lot breaks my heart. I watch kids raised up in church. I watch them turn 18, 19 years old. All of a sudden, they disappear. They come scraggling back in at 24, 25, 26. And do you know how much of a mess you can turn your life into in 3 or 4 or 5 years of not trusting God and trying to make decisions that you want to make? Listen, think about it. Most of you know people, they're 25, 26, 27 years old, and their life's a train wreck. Because you know what? They're smarter than mom and dad. They don't have to listen anymore. Look at my driver's license. I'm 18. I'm 21. I'm a full-grown adult. Well, let me tell you something. That pride is going to destroy you. What you better do when you're 18 is stay on your knees before God and say, God, I'm going to trust in you, and I don't have to understand everything, and I'm going to acknowledge you every day of my life. I'm running every decision by you. And you know what? If you'll do that, God will direct your path. Let me talk to him. This could be applied to every age group, but God burdened my heart. Young people, teenagers, stay on your side of the line. Young adults, stay on your side of the line. Now, let me talk to those of you that are hitting 40s and 50s. Yesterday I had a birthday, 53. That's a stupid age. 53, what's that? It is. What's 50? just seems like an awful dumb age. I'm not excited about it. I'm not happy about it at all. At some point, you ought to be able to start going backwards, you know. You ought to count up to a certain point and then go back. And in some ways, I think I am. 53 years, listen to me, watch this. I had a preacher, I'm going to tell you a story. I got a preacher friend. And a few years ago, he turned 40. By the way, there's something called midlife crisis. And you hit 40, and all of a sudden you've realized, you start doing the math. Wow, unless I live to be 80 or over, there's more life, my life behind me than there is in front of me. And all of a sudden, a lot of people during that age period start looking around at what they have in life, the decisions they've made in life, and where their life is, and they start figuring out, you know, this wasn't what I thought it would be when I was growing up, and then they start panicking. Come on now. Midlife crisis is just panic mode. Come on. Where all of a sudden they say, you know what? I've spent my life so far trusting the Lord, and I haven't told God I don't have to understand everything, and I've tried to acknowledge Him, but I really thought by now I'd be here, or I'd have this, or I thought I'd be farther down. I didn't think this would be the path. And you would be surprised how many people in their 40s or early 50s come running across that line and say, Lord, this thing isn't turning out the way I thought it would turn out, so I'm going to take control of my life and I'm going to start directing my path. And you know what? I have watched more good, solid Christians with a good track record live the first 40 years of their life for the Lord and do it right, and then blow everything up in their 40s. You know why? Watch this. You know why? Because they decided they weren't going to stay on their side of the line. Now, you just stay over here. Well, preacher, my life's not turned out like I thought it would. Well, you know what? Listen to me. Come on. How many people in here that are 40 or older are doing everything that you thought you would do when you had it all planned out at 16 years of age? And you know what you've had to learn now? You know, when you're in 16 and you're planning your life out and you're thinking about it, folks, watch this. It's not reality. It's a fantasy. And you know what you never factor in? Heartache. Problems. Real life. Setbacks. Guess what? That's part of life. Okay? Listen, when we dream, we don't insert negativity into our perfect dream. But our lives can never measure up to a fantasy dream, because you know what? For one thing, we're all sinners. Another thing, we're living in this world where there's a curse of sin and there's real heartaches and listen, life's real. But I'm going to tell you this at 53 years of age. Let me stand here and tell you this. You're going to like where you're at in your 50s if you'll trust in the Lord with all your heart. And preacher, you're stuck. I feel like there's a record and it's caught on a loop. Listen, it's scratched and it just keeps, yeah, let's just keep repeating it. Trust in the Lord. I don't care what age you are. Senior saints, it's not time to get off board. It's not time to run over there and start deciding, I got to make some, no, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge Him. And He'll direct my path. I started to tell you about a preacher friend of mine. I'll tell you this story and I'll close. And he called me. And all of a sudden, he's pastoring a church. And it's not a giant church, but it's a good church. This has been 2 or 3 years ago. And he's doing a good job, but he's in a rural area. But I think as a preacher boy, when you're young and you surrender the ministry, you got these visions of grandeur. And he calls me one day and he starts telling me, I think I'm going to change the entire direction of my ministry. And he starts laying out this plan and he starts talking about how he's going to start doing this and start doing that. And I'm listening to this. And he said to me, he said, Brother Jerry, I called you because I respect you. And I know God wants me to do this. I'm excited about it. And I want to talk to you about it. And I'm listening to it. And I get done listening. And I said, Brother, listen to me. Number one, first of all, I don't play God. I said, all I can do is just talk to you, okay? When this conversation's done, you do what God told you to do. But you are wise in seeking counsel. By the way, we are wise to seek counsel. And I said, I'm not God, but I said, let me ask you some questions. He said, well, and I said, how old are you? And he said, what's that got? I said, how old are you? 41. I said, okay. Brother, let me tell you what I think's happening. I said, God's using you where you're at. God's blessings upon your life. And by the way, it's upon your children's life. But things haven't worked out to the scale that you probably hoped they would when you were 21, 22, 23, preparing for the ministry. True? And he said, that's true, preacher. I said, let me tell you something. I think all of these things, even though they are noble things, that you're deciding you're going to take off in a whole different direction, I'm going to tell you something. You better acknowledge God in all your ways. And you better let him direct your path. Because at your age, a lot of guys go through this. And you know what? We start crossing the line and deciding, well, things haven't worked out to the skill that we hoped for, so we're going to come over here and I'm tired of waiting on God. I think I'm going to make some things happen. And I promise you, you'll regret it. Now listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Nobody in here would know who this person is. He didn't listen to me. And again, I don't play God. It's not a matter of him listening to me. It's a matter of him listening to the Lord. Took off in a different direction. Decided he'd keep his church, but decided he was going to start all of these other things. His church now has dwindled down to almost nothing. And you know what I believe it was to this day? You know, I believe God gave me clear wisdom and clear guidance on my counsel to him. I think it was just a guy that has spent 40 years, 41 years trusting the Lord and not leaning to his own understanding, acknowledge him. But you know what? He's just not satisfied with the path that God has for him. So he's going to change paths. He's going to get over here and mess around and decide he's going to do. Listen, I don't care who you are or where you're at. Don't make any major decision during the 40s and early 50s without making sure that you have gotten before the Lord and run those decisions by him. Because I've watched young people take watched the devil take teenagers and get them on the wrong path. And I've watched God take young people that get past those teenage years and get them on the wrong path. But increasingly, I'm watching independent fundamental Baptist Christians in their 40s and 50s running over to this side and jumping on paths that they have no business jumping on just because God's not doing what they want him to do, how they want him to do it, and when they want him to do it. And the honest truth is, folks, this is God's business over here. This is God's business. Okay? My life is in his hands. Whatever path he wants me to walk is the right path. And you know what? I need to be content and satisfied with the perfect will of God for my life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that from these two verses tucked away in Proverbs, we would glean some wisdom for the path that lays ahead of us. Lord, I believe that I've stood and properly represented these verses this morning. And Lord, if the people could know my heart and see my heart, I feel like I've stood up and tried to fight for them today and to help them today. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would cause each and every one of us in this room to examine these three areas of responsibility in our relationship to you. Lord, may we rededicate ourselves to not just kind of trusting you, but trusting you with all our heart. Help us, dear God. Many Christians wrestling with things that they don't understand, may they choose not to lean upon their understanding. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that nobody, none of us, Lord, would make a decision without acknowledging you in all our ways. Thank you, Lord. 53 years of age yesterday, as a young man, I decided that I'd trust the Lord. As a young man, I decided I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge God in all my decisions. I want to thank you, Lord, for the path that I've been allowed to walk. And Lord, I still, looking back, don't understand everything. And Lord, I still, I guess, have some, on the human side of me, some questions, dear God. But I pray, Lord, dear God, that you'd help me to finish out my life just trusting you, not leaning on my own understanding, and acknowledging you in all of my ways. Oh, I'd like to see some young people just nail that thing down. I'd like to see young people in their youth just say, God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm getting back over on my side of the line. I'm going to stop trying to hurry things and rush in things. And I'm going to exercise patience. And Lord, I pray, dear God, for young couples making lifetime decisions. And Lord, many, many, dear God, in those middle years, Lord, protect them. Protect them, dear God. They've done so well, so long, so far. Don't let them throw the formula away at this point, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.